Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message. So this morning I'd like to bring you a message, and it's a message entitled, It's Time to Move Forward. And I want to look at the story today of Lot and his wife leaving the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this story is found in Genesis chapter 19. And it's a very interesting story that we can draw a lot out of as we look to prepare our hearts, both as a church and also as individuals, to move forward with the Lord this coming year of 2024. So I want to read from Genesis 19. When the morning dawned, in verse 15, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And so what had happened is the angels had turned up in Lot's city, and they had come with an assignment from the Lord because the sin and the debauchery had rung out in the ears of the Lord. And he said, "I can't hold my judgment back, but I will rescue my righteous one, Lot, and his family from the city." But look what verse 16, the next verse says. It says this: "And while he lingered," that's Lot, "the men took hold of his hand," this is the angels, "his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters," the Lord being merciful to him, "and they brought him out and set him outside the city." So our first verse says that the angels urged Lot to hurry. But verse 16 tells us that he was lingering. And so the mercy of God comes. The angels grab their hands of the family and they lead them outside the city. Verse 17. "And it came to pass when they brought them outside that he said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you.'" And I want that to ring in your ears this morning by the Holy Spirit. "Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Verse 24 and 5. "Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground." The last verse, verse 26. "But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Father, I just pray this morning that your Spirit would minister to us as we look into this encounter with both angels and the judgment of God in Genesis. And I just ask today, Lord, as we contemplate and as we look ahead to what we're believing will be our most fruitful year yet for our lives, we're praying that you would speak to our hearts, that you would bring conviction, that you would bring a sense of your word coming close to us. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the saints said, amen. You know, there's times and seasons in all of our lives. There's times to relax. Hopefully you've had some of that time in the holidays. But there's times to focus and zero in with absolute determination and focus. And there's certainly times, and I've experienced them and so have you, where instant obedience is required by the Lord. For example, I was praying one day in my early years, and the Lord took me back in my mind of some things that I had stolen from a previous employer that I worked for as a non-Christian. And he said, "I want you, this is how much money you've taken in goods. I want you to make an appointment to see your boss, and I want you to hand back the money that you have taken from him, that you stolen goods from him while you worked for him." And yes, it was a tall order, but I had just the faith to believe that it was all going to work out. But I made an instant appointment. I rang my boss. It was a five-hour trip by car to go and see him. And I didn't put it off. I immediately rang him, said, "Can I come and see you on this date?" He said, "Yep, I'll be here. It'd be great to see you again." And I went to see him, and I explained to him that I had stolen some things out of the showroom, and this is the monetary value of what I'd taken, that I was very sorry. This is before I was a Christian, and here's what I have taken from you. And he was very gracious in the end. He made me sweat for a while, but he was very gracious in the end, and he thanked me for being honest and being transparent and willing to right my wrongs. So that was an example of instant obedience where I just knew when God spoke to me, I had to make this right. And I ministered and I moved immediately on that. And I've had other occasions. Another example is I was praying one day and the Lord gave me the address of a home. I'd never been to this home. I'd never been to this place. And he said, I want you to go there today and I want you to knock on the door and I want you to share the gospel with whoever answers the door. And so I did exactly that. I knocked on the door. A middle-aged woman answered the door. I was in my 20s at the time. She invited me in and she basically said to me, now, what have you got to share with me? And I shared the gospel with her and she received Christ. It was an issue of instant obedience. That woman's heart was right and ready to receive the word of God. And so as we look at this example of Lot's wife turning back and being turned into a pillar of salt, she lost her life, she lost her future, she lost the destiny of God upon her life because she turned back. And I want to talk about three enemies we will face when God asks us to be instantly obedient today. And the first one is a desire to look back and hold on to the past. When we hold on to the past, we can't walk into our future. And it says, but what Lot's wife looked back. And the word of God is filled with stories of people who look back. And one of the hard sayings of Jesus in Luke 9:62, he said to his disciples, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that's a tough saying. But there, right there, we get an understanding of what it means to be fully surrendered to the Lord. We can't go back. We can only move forward, put our hand to the plow. And that's a qualification for those who want to serve God in the kingdom of God. So there was an unsurrendered desire in Lot's wife that had not been severed and surrendered to the lordship of Christ. And her desire to look back was stronger than her desire to move forward. So I want to ask you the question today, what's holding you back from moving forward into 2024? What are you holding on to that is causing you to be bound to your past? I want you to consider today to be a freedom day, to sever those ties to the past that you've been emotionally bound in Jesus' name. You know, our emotions can help us or they can harm us if they're not surrendered to the lordship of Christ. So I pray that your prayer, even now as I'm speaking, will be, Lord, show me what may be binding me to my past, that's stopping me from moving forward. The second enemy of moving forward is the good old procrastination. And procrastination is common to many of us. And if I gave you a definition, it would simply be this: putting off the hard jobs and focusing on less urgent, low priority jobs or tasks instead of tackling the more challenging task and moving it out of the way. We all know this. There's jobs that need to be done and we keep putting them off, putting them off, putting them off, often with what we would call valid excuses. I don't know. Who knows this one well? I do. I want to bring you a quote from a man called James Clear, who wrote a great book called Atomic Habits. And he said this: maturity is learning how to start when you feel like procrastinating and learning how to listen when you feel like talking. That is a mark of maturity, that we get on with the job even though we don't feel like it, and we learn how to listen when we feel like talk, talk, talk. So in this story, it's not only, excuse me, I'll just take a drink. It's not only Lot's wife who had an issue, but Lot himself. And the word tells us the angels had said that this is an urgent matter, haste is of the essence, but Lot and his family were lingering. So what does the word linger mean? It means to question or hesitate, to be reluctant, to delay, to linger. And the Bible tells us that the angels were merciful. They basically interceded, stepped in the gap, grabbed them by their hands, and pulled them out of the city. You know, when God requests obedience from us, it's not a time to linger. It's not a time to delay. to demonstrate any reluctance or hesitation. It's a time to move forward and be obedient and do what God is asking you to do. Procrastination will only hurt you and harm you in the long term. The final enemy I want to talk about today is the fear of the unknown, or the fear of the future, not knowing what's going to happen. And Lot was told these words by the angel: do not look behind you. And I want that to ring in our ears. It's ringing in my ears today. He said, don't stay anywhere in the plains, in the flats, but escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed, because there's about to be sulfur, fire, and brimstone is going to be rained down on this city. And, you know, we see, it goes on verse 18, then Lot said to them, please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. And so the long and short of it is that Lot's a city boy, and he was scared of going into the countryside, all those snakes, lions, spiders, you know, and maybe we would have been too. But he was afraid of the future because of an unresolved fear in his life. So he begs the angels to escape to a nearby city called Zoar, and the angels give him a reprieve. He moved to Zoar, and it's only when he actually walks into the city at sunrise that the fire and brimstone begins to be rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah. But listen to this. Lot's fear is just driving him. And in verse 30, it says, then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. So his fear of the city of Zoar is now greater than his previous fear of the countryside. And so this led him to then, for the rest of his life, to live in a cave. And this is often what happens. Fears drive us into cave dwelling, where we end up hiding away and God can't use us the way he wants to use us. So it's time today to become friends with all the what-ifs that would come up on your radar screen when you're thinking about the future. What if this happens, or what if that happens? And it's simply time to be obedient and to move forward into the future that God has destined for you and for me. I believe this. Listen, I believe the safest place for you and I is to be in the will of God. To live outside the will of God is inviting terror and fear to plague us. So it's time to stop allowing your past to dictate your future. And I want us to allow the Apostle Paul to have the last word for us this morning. And these great verses from Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. What's that one thing? Here it is. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So don't let your past dictate your future. Forget those things which are behind. It's time to look ahead. Don't get buried in the clutter of today. It's time to reach forward to those things which are ahead. God is waiting to whisper your destiny and future into your heart and mind this morning. Be determined. This is what he says, I press. That word literally means I give myself to this. I follow hard after. I'm going to pursue. Friends, he didn't say, let's cruise toward the goal. This isn't the love boat, you know. We're on a battleship sailing into the fight, not running from it. Remember, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So come on, church, let's get going into 2024, breaking new ground and taking new territory of the devil. Before I switch on to the discussion questions, as you go into your breakout rooms this morning, I just want to take the opportunity to pray with you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this short, sharp word. I thank you. I believe it's come from the throne room as I was reading my daily readings this week. I believe it's a word in season for many this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would take it, you would shift it into our hearts, and that you would move us, Lord, toward your purposes, not allowing fear to have a stranglehold. I bind and break every fear that would rule our lives and stop us from moving into the will of God. And I release us into the freedom of being a son and daughter of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So, Lord, have your way, move in our hearts. May this year be a fantastic year. And I pray as we begin to discuss the story of Lot, that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts again. Help us to be transparent with one another. Help us to be honest with one another as we move into a time of discipling one another in the Word of God, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, church, here's a few questions. Take a moment to think about one thing you want to move forward on this year and why. Share that thing with your group this morning. One thing you want to move forward on in 2024 and why. Secondly, share which of the three enemies you struggle with the most. Holding on to the past, procrastination, or fear of the future. And thirdly today, what does pressing on, what for you to press forward, what does that look like for you, do you think, in 2024? What are you going to have to do in 2024 to press on? And share that with your group today. Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you. Can't wait to see you. We've got our combined service on the 21st in Hobsonville Point. So great to see you then on the 21st. Take care.